ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What a show. What a life I have. It's not every day I wake up and say, Jane Fonda's on the show today. Why not? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice of Deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Ed Show. On MSNBC is up, I believe, in the YouTube section. You can see me do a spit take on MSNBC yesterday. It's not done enough, I think, in cable news. Also on the big show, Representative John Yarmuth, Representative Jan Schakowsky, and Austin Goolsbee. He's from the White House, you know.
He is.
Mm-hmm. That we every now and again, we get someone that doesn't clearly listen to the show and will agree to come on, which is very exciting.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of, it's not often that you send me a show prep thing, Chris, that says a journalistic goddess.
Yes.
But right on here it says, first out of the chute, MSNBC goddess, Contessa Brewer.
And she is. She's a lovely woman.
I don't have a phone screen, so can you bring her up?
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Contessa. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you.
This is how I mainly get... What's that?
I don't think I've ever heard that. Goddess.
Somebody on my staff has a Contessa crush, I can tell.
That person is at least watching, I hope.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of yours, and as you know, that's how I mainly get guests. I accost them in the hallways of MSNBC, as I did you last week.
Seems to be particularly effective.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, and I was reading your bio, and I was wondering if that was just me. It says she's known for her marathon on-air coverage of breaking news. Is there something in your contract that they have to bring you power bars? Because sometimes it seems like you're on for just days at a time.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it? In fact, I just did, just recently, 6 hours in a row. And whenever I do it, you know, everybody has so much sympathy for me. But I do it rarely, and I'm thinking about my colleague Alex Witt, and every Saturday she's on 5 hours in a row.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, yeah, you do have to have people bringing you food because, as everybody knows, anchors who get hungry are very cranky. And so to forestall any sort of fit on the set, and power bars aren't really even the best thing. Really, it's chocolate.
Something that zips that blood sugar content way up. So now for some reason I'm on call 24/7 whenever Sarah Palin says something. Then I have to go comment on it as I did last night. What's your take? I mean, not even in a partisan way, but as a woman, first of all, it makes my ears bleed when we have to play sound clips of Sarah Palin. I mean, is it me or do we cover everything she says?
Well, no, we do. And we cover it because people watch. And regardless of whether you love to love her or love to hate her, she is she's a pivotal figure in politics. She's a pivotal figure in pop culture. And she's really burst on the scene with something of an explosion. And so it was attention getting. When John McCain named her as his vice presidential running mate, and here we are, you know, 2 years later, and she apparently has staying power.
I guess. It's just because you have to play the clips and then comment, does she ever actually say anything, or are they just kind of these quips, you know, let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall. What else did she say yesterday? How's the Hopi Changey thing? She did that again. You know what I mean?
Maybe she thinks maybe a lot of people aren't watching cable news the way you and I do, and maybe they haven't heard the line about Hopi Changey. Mm. So maybe if they have heard it, they love it enough to give her a rousing cheer. But to get up behind a podium and say, Americans don't want these backbreaking taxes, well, I don't know anybody who enjoys paying taxes. I
mean, right.
That's a pretty simple thing to get everybody to agree that they don't like paying taxes. The question is, do you think your taxes are essential to the running of a civilized democracy? And she's not going to get into that debate behind a microphone and, right, and a podium, she's going to say, she's going to deliver a really simple message, things that are easy to grasp. I mean, really what she does, she has the best of the Baptist evangelist in her, realizing that if you really want to get the revival worked up, you don't get into complicated theocracy. What you do is you deliver a powerful emotional line and let people rally around the cause.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's the teabagger version of like Freebird or something. She did the thing yesterday about, oh, we'll tell them, we'll keep clinging to our guns and our religion. That was like, that's like an old hit from the campaign, I guess.
Well, you know, and if it works, you're going to keep, it's like jokes that I tell at parties. As long as I get a laugh once, it means I'm probably going to keep telling it over and over.
Yeah, that is true. You have a point there.
Yeah, people. Chris tells people that. Don't laugh. You'll only encourage her. Meanwhile, her, you must be having your own Scooby-Doo moment over her running mate, John McCain, who apparently now is not a maverick. And, you know, I mean, when you name your plane that and your book and you say it 7,000 times during the campaign, it's kind of hilarious, isn't it?
That race in Arizona is really interesting to watch, too, because, you know, my dad and my brothers live out in Phoenix, and J.D. Hayworth is a very popular talker out there. I mean, the folks who live in Phoenix listen to him. They know him. He's a big figure. He was on television, so he already had a name going for him. And he's really, I mean, he was right in the middle of the birther controversy, and then it was, he was embracing the ideals of the Tea Party Express. And Sarah Palin comes on the scene, and she's the darling of the Tea Party, and yet she's not stumping for J.D. Hayworth. She's stumping for John McCain, whose stand on illegal immigration or immigration in general seems to be pretty far away from what the Tea Party's doing. I mean, that whole dynamic is really interesting to watch it evolve.
Well, I'll say. She's campaigning for McCain. I think she got booed partially the last time she was there by teabaggers. So, I mean, it is interesting that, you know, I guess it was Joe Lieberman, right, saying, oh, Republicans have the momentum. Well, you know, the first post-healthcare race, Democrats won down in Florida, right? I mean, and it is interesting. I heard some, I think it was a right-winger that was on MSNBC yesterday say, oh, well, you know, that was a safe Democratic seat. Well, what, in Ted Kennedy isn't a... That's not I mean, they made such a big deal out of that seat, right? That's a Democratic area as well.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in the fall, because Doug Hyde, who's the communications director for the RNC, was on with me yesterday. And I was asking him, you know, we're watching these huge crowds show up at the Tea Party rallies. And I asked him, I said, you know, can Republicans win seats without the Tea Party? Because there are a lot of Republicans who are trying to distance themselves from sort of the some of the more fanatical fringe people who are showing up at the Tea Party. And I don't want to paint the Tea Party with this big broad brush that says everybody's a loony. I don't think that's the case.
Right.
But I do think, I mean, unfortunately, when you have people showing up at the Tea Party sign saying they want government to keep their hands off their Medicare, that's the sign that's going to get picked up on, and that's going to be representative of what's happening. And it's just not the case. But at any rate, I digress.
Yes.
You know how that
can happen. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they can say they're not racist. But when, you know, there's been signs with the N-word, particularly spelled wrong, it tends to make you look like you may have some dumb racists in your midst, right?
Well, and surely the smart people who are showing up at the, and successful business people who are showing up at these rallies cringe when they see that, because they don't want that. In the same way, Democrats don't want to be painted that way, and surely that there are some dumb fanatics within the Democratic movement, and there are some dumb fanatics in the Republican conservative movement. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true for, you know, the same thing is true for any conservative liberal movement. That being said, so Doug Hyde said to me, look, we can't win elections without people who believe in what the Tea Party is trying to accomplish. We need the Tea Party enthusiasm. We need to try and explain that Republicans do represent what they're aiming for. But, you know, Republicans haven't done that. I said, well, why is it that Republicans are not the go-to party for these Tea Party people? Because, you know, when you're talking about a big stand on immigration, when you talk about smaller government, that's supposed to be the old-fashioned ideals of the Republican Party. And yet, all these thousands, hundreds of thousands, you know, who knows how many people ascribe to this movement, those people don't see it in the Republican Party.
Right, right. Well, contestants, so then, I mean, interesting, you know, I know there's some new polling out, you know, showing not great numbers for the president and even Democrats, you know, that I think, you know, this health care debate, unfortunately, has had its effect. You know, I think he's at 49% or whatever. But, you know, here we go again. You know, the financial regulation, that's going to be the next big subject up. And already, you know, Frank Luntz has put out his talking points that Mitch McConnell is parroting about, oh, this is going to lead to more bailouts when, of course, the legislation is exactly the opposite. So, you know, and it seems like once again, the Republicans are going to be on the side of big banks, just like they were on the side of insurance companies. But can they win that debate, do you think?
I mean, I think even Sean Donovan, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, was on with me yesterday talking about the criticism the government has come under because the money it has set aside to help families facing foreclosure, they've only helped something like a quarter million families, when Elizabeth Warren says, look, there are 8 million families right now at the risk of having their homes foreclosed on. So it's a drop in the bucket. And Sean Donovan comes on and he's talking about how, what a great job the administration is doing, really, when you put it in context. And he's talking about how it wasn't government programs to give mortgages to working class families that brought us to this big housing crisis. It was lax regulation for Fannie and Freddie. It was Fannie and Freddie trying to compete with Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this, and you're going to get both conservatives and progressives on the same page saying, yes, there's a need for regulatory reform. But it's how that reform takes place that becomes the divisive issue. If there are
right.
And if politics doesn't become a part. So when all of a sudden you're talking about legislation that's going to give the Federal Reserve oversight of our biggest financial institutions, the Federal Reserve was a big player in getting us to where we are now. I mean, giving the Federal Reserve more power is not necessarily a way to win over moderate Democrats.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the fight is going to come down to, you know, what putting teeth means in this or not, right?
Exactly. And it's going to come down to an election year when you can paint, no matter why people are taking the stand they're taking, and no matter how thoughtful and logical their rationale is, if they take a stand against this reform, they're going to get painted as siding with the big fat cats on Wall Street.
Yep.
Now, I tell you, I have a problem right now with the way American politics is working, and it is politics. A lot of this is politics, that everybody's trying to shove you into a box. You're either left or you're right, and they need to know, because they need to know whether they should love you or hate you.
Right, and what to put on the chyron on you underneath you on television.
On MSNBC.
That's right. Contessa Brewer, MSNBC goddess, you are delightful. Only one request. Just make sure they have bendy straws next time I'm at MSNBC, won't you?
Drink anything without them.
Okay. Contessa Brewer of MSNBC, thank you so much. See you next time.
Okay.
There she goes. There she goes, the goddess.
That's right.
Of MSNBC.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative John Yarmuth coming up. Jane Fonda, you know, I did a Jane Fonda's workout back in person with her.
With Jane Fonda?
Uh-huh. When I was eating, when I was a fatty in college.
That's because you had too many grasshoppers.
Exactly. I got my ass up at 6 a.m. and I went, because she actually taught the class out there like 6 a.m. or some ungodly thing the woman is made of steel. You do, you did like 17,000 leg lifts in a row or whatever.
And you know what? She still is a hottie.
She looks the same.
I know.
It's terrifying.
And she's going to be on to talk about World Fitness Day today.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it all ties in.
If only I'd been doing P90X back then. I would have been able to keep up with her. All right. Also, Representative Jan Schakowsky and Austin Goolsbee of the White House.
Yes.
Hello. You're calling from the White House. Oh, okay. All right. Then we'll take that call. By the way, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie, won't you? Oh, Sue in Rockville, by the way, writes me with a... yes. Yesterday we were talking about Mike Huckabee. And his thoughts on gay marriage. He compared it to what now? Incest?
Yeah.
Polygamy?
Yeah.
Something else.
And,
drug use.
Compared adopting gay people adopting children to adopting puppies or something
yes,
like that.
Yes. It's not like, yeah, they're not like puppies.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he also, of all these slippery slope arguments that people make against gay marriage, he is concerned that people will marry herds of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, Sue in Rockville with just a little point of order, a little not-so-fun fact.
All right.
Steph, so Huckabee's son David was fired from his job as a camp counselor in 1998 when he hung and killed a stray dog at the camp.
Ugh.
I guess that makes Huckabee a bad parent, and all self-righteous perpetual presidential candidates should not be allowed to have children either, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you know, Mike Huckabee sounds like he wants to, you know, bust up some families, you know, because gays shouldn't adopt. But, you know, has he taken a look at his own family?
Yeah, speaking of which, Sarah Palin, another of the family values.
Yeah.
I'm just saying maybe just take a little bath. See, you know, if you're a perfect parent, then go ahead and talk about who else should parent or not. Just saying. All right. Caribou Barbie, who I believe when Ed played the clips last night on MSNBC, my ears did bleed slightly.
Keith Olbermann said his sinuses were cleared.
Yes. I know. Well, because we have like a pollen count of a billion here in New York. And so, yeah, I've been sneezing and exactly. Woof. Yeah, they have good makeup people because they get ready, they rush in and they swab your ears so that you can't, the blood is invisible on television.
Boston, if anyone knows how to throw a tea party, it is you.
And she gets paid how much to talk like that?
I just always wonder, is it just me that is that irritated by her and her voice? It literally is like the what do you call it, nails on a blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, Oh, did you hear my big joke on Ed? I said it's interesting because about the straws, the bendable straws.
Yes.
I said I heard her her friend Michelle Bachman will only use crazy straws.
Oh, did you see that someone tweeted you yesterday and said, why do you have to be so mean?
Cuz. All right. That's the problem. If I have to come talk about Sarah Bubarbie one more time, I'm going to get even bitchier. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Toothless, carny, crazy.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative John Yarmuth of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, who has left some important meeting to talk to us. I question his priorities, but I applaud him for that.
Well, I would never miss an opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you, Congressman. Well, listen, so much to talk about. I know you're getting ready to introduce a resolution to officially express the House's disapproval of the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which I love. Obviously, we have Chuck Schumer and Chris Van Hollen are getting a bill ready. Talk to us about all that.
Well, the bill that Van Hollen and Schumer are going to introduce is actually some legislative attempts to roll back part of it. One of the things that they're going to stipulate in the bill is that if a company pays for an ad, that the CEO of that company has to appear on the ad just as a candidate does. So there's transparency, so at least people know that this is a corporation paying for it. There are requirements that, or prohibitions against foreign companies who own American subsidiaries using their money to advertise, because as we mentioned in the resolution, under the Supreme Court decision, Citgo Oil, which is owned by the Venezuelan government, could spend unlimited funds to affect the elections in America. And so could the Chinese oil company, which has a subsidiary here, and the Russians and the Saudis. They all have American subsidiaries. And so you're talking about foreign governments interfering with our elections. So there's a ban against that. And, you know, there's a limit to what we can do. That's the sad thing about the Supreme Court decision. It was so broad and so sweeping and such a judicial activist decision that there are limits to what we can do to legislatively roll it back. But we're going to do everything we can. And then my resolution is just something that really wants to put the country on record, certainly the Congress on record, as saying this is a horrible thing for democracy. It undermines democracy, and here are all the reasons why. And, of course, we want the Republicans to join us or oppose this resolution at their peril.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Chris Van Hollen said it the other day, Congressman, is that, you know, pretty much every poll indicates there's broad support from Republicans, Democrats, and Independents to slow the flow of big corporate special interest money into campaigns. I mean, once again, the Republicans in Washington seem to be the only ones for this decision.
I know, it's crazy. And my constituent and Senator Mitch McConnell is kind of the band leader on this. And, you know, I think that the thing we ought to look at just as a perfectly tangible piece of evidence as to why this is horrible is the West Virginia Massey Energy situation.
Yep.
Because he's already, Don Blankenship, the CEO, has already spent $3 million buying a judicial position, which overturned a $50 million judgment against him. He was not using corporate money, but now there's nothing to prevent Massey Energy from going to Joe Blow on the street and saying, how would you like to be governor of West Virginia? I'll spend $20 million of corporate money.
Yeah, whoever's going to regulate the mining industry and have environmental controls, you know, less will be the person that, you know, will get all his money, right?
Exactly. Exactly right.
Congressman, as you bring up, I mean, that's the other reason why the Supreme Court nomination is so important, isn't it? Because as you say, this is not only a lifetime appointment, but you have decisions like this that are so sweeping, and here John Roberts and Alito, what's the word? I mean, they assured senators that they would respect precedent.
Exactly right. And there are other things that could happen in this very same arena that could make it even worse, and that's they could eliminate all the bans on all spending for campaigns,
right,
which would turn the whole political system into a circus if it didn't already. So,
right.
Yes, every nomination now is even more critical in making sure that we don't have anybody who's going to take the kind of, extreme judicial activist positions that this court has.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah. Congressman, next up, obviously, financial reform. And I know I do. I don't know if you feel like it's just like an acid flashback to healthcare. We have the Frank Luntz memo on how to kill financial reform, link it to the big bank bailout. And like clockwork, Mitch McConnell says this is going to lead to more bailouts, yada, yada, yada. You know, going to try to weaken health legislation just like they did on healthcare. What's going to happen here, do you think?
Well, financial regulatory reform is going to pass. The question is going to be whether Democrats stand firm and on the independent regulatory agency. That's going to be the critical question. I think the rest of it's pretty much we'll actually get some bipartisan support for, because there are Republicans who understand that we can't. As the Frank Luntz memo says, never again can we let that happen. And it's funny, we've used that statement a lot ourselves. But so I think that's going to happen. The idea of some resolution authority so that if institutions get so big that they pose a risk to the entire economy, that the government can break them up, that we have to have some limits on how much they can gamble, on how much what their risk ratio would be. We can't let banks go out and speculate 30, 40, 50, or 100 times more than the capital they have,
which is
what they were doing. So all of those things, I think there's pretty broad agreement on.
Right, except that, you know, Gibbs said yesterday, Obama made clear bipartisanship should not be equated with an openness to lobbyist loopholes and special interest carve-outs that he would be unwilling to negotiate on some key issues. I mean, the good news here to me seems like they have learned a lesson on health care, and they are not, you know, Because this is what happens. I mean, you know, Chris Dodd said, yesterday, his patience is running out. I've extended the hand. I've written provisions in this bill to accommodate various interests, but I'm not going to continue to do this if all I'm getting on the other side is suggesting this is a partisan effort. I mean, it does seem like they're running the same play they ran on health care, aren't they?
Absolutely. Of course they are. And the polls are even more clear that Americans are furious at Wall Street. And so there's not a lot of political danger for the president, and certainly for us, to draw a clear line in the sand here and say Wall Street's no longer going to run this country. So, and the other thing is, I think the president, rightfully so, is feeling a little emboldened now. He knows what it takes to have a
political
victory. We sure do. And I tell you, every member I've talked to in the last few days has come back from their district saying, wow, things have really changed.
But Congressman, I think the cautionary tale is you look at the huge public support a year ago for health care reform, and, you know, then we got a wall of lies and obstruction for a year, and, you know, the latest polls show people, you know, not as supportive of the health care reform, and it hasn't really even begun yet, you know, in a large scale. So, I mean, I would just caution you that, you know, this is, you know, they did sort of the insurance company talking points, and now I think, as Chris Dodd said yesterday, they're doing the Wall Street talking points, the Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that's right.
You know, it's like you always think, oh, how are the Republicans going to get people on the side of insurance companies? But they somehow did it, and they somehow were able.
Yeah. Well, they did it, and that's, you know, it's funny because when you have polls that show that almost 50% of the people think Fox News is the most credible news source, it's not hard to understand how that can happen. And we now know that the Tea Party people have basically been exploiting Fox News as well to make money for all the people who are trying to orchestrate that movement.
Right. Well, I would just urge, you know, everybody to stand firm on this. You know, at least at Politico, I the story today, which I love, is for weeks the White House strategy on financial regulatory reform remained an open question. Would President Obama water down his bill to get something passed the way he did on health care? And the answer seems to be no, coming from the White House. That like you say, he's hopefully we're going to get a strong bill and then dare the Republicans to vote against it. Do you think?
Well, I think they will, because, again, I think, you know, there's some smart people over in the Republican Party politically, and they can see it's pretty obvious that the American people don't like them at all and really resent the fact that they've been sitting on the sidelines and not trying to help solve these problems. That's a huge point of vulnerability on their part. So they can't, particularly when you know, 70 to 75% of the people want this strong financial regulatory reform, and I don't think they can just sit there and say, well, say no to that too. So I feel good about getting a much stronger bill than we might have gotten before healthcare passed.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, but the problem is they're out there saying, you know, for instance, the Recovery Act has added no jobs and there's no tax relief in it. When that's exactly the opposite of what's true, isn't it?
Well, of course, and you now have validation from a lot of unlikely sources. I mean, Business Week, which where you have George Bush's Treasury expert saying the Recovery Act has been very successful and their economic policies, including the stimulus, have helped move the economy in the right direction. That's the Treasury Treasury Secretary under Bush. Mark Zandi, who is McCain's financial advisor, saying that when you take it all together, this was a major success. So, and we all know that. We feel it in our districts. We know. Now, are we out of the woods? Not by any stretch of the imagination. But when you have Newsweek saying America's back on the cover, and Business Week saying with Barack and Hot Hand on the cover, you get the sense of momentum that it's going to be hard to argue that things aren't better. Every economic, you know, the Dow's up 40% since Obama came into office. We've recovered about a third of the household wealth that was lost under the Bush administration. So the employment is still a real big problem. There's no question about that. And there's still a lot of housing problems. But overall, we know things are moving in the right direction. So it's going to be, you know, when I saw Republican members of the House yesterday with Newsweek covers where they were actually trying to shame Newsweek for being in the pocket of Barack Obama, I knew that that was having an impact.
Yeah, exactly. Congressman John Yarmuth, when you go back into your important committee meeting, do you need to tell them when they say, where were you, do you need to say the Stephanie Miller Show? Because that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
I'd be happy if they asked me. This is actually our weekly Democratic caucus, and so they were just going over the scheduling for the rest of the day.
Okay.
So it wasn't. I didn't miss anything critical, I don't
think. Oh, thank God. Congressman John Yarmuth of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, thank you so much for your time, as always.
My pleasure, Stephanie. Take
All
care.
Right. There he goes.
Yay.
Congressman John Yarmuth back into his important committee meeting, where he will say, I was on the... Never mind.
Yeah, telling fart jokes.
I just don't know if they need a note from the teacher, that kind of thing, when they miss big meetings.
A note for Pelosi?
Yes. Pelosi will be like, oh, God. All right. That show.
Oh,
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
See, I told you if we got him bendy straws, Jim would come in early. That's all he needed.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, I apologize for the lack of bendy straws the last few years. I didn't realize it was so important to you.
About time.
And Jim only lives a few blocks from the studio there in L.A., but now that I got him a private F-60 jet to get there, he seems much happier.
F-60 jet or bigger.
Or bigger.
Bigger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by the time it rolled in the end of the runway, I'd be overshooting the building. So that...
Yeah,
I didn't even realize Jim had a rider, and then I finally found it on a Chardonnay-soaked napkin. I'm like, oh, well, if I'd known.
I need bendy straws. The other ones poke me in the eye.
Yeah, because the Stephanie
Bear... That's probably why. Yes, she's too stupid.
Also, too, the socialist Obama agenda. Ow!
Why does it keep poking me in the eye? Why? I'm guessing that she has also once injured herself by eating pudding with a rubber spoon, but I'm just... I could be wrong. Yeah, my other favorite thing, Jim and her writer, is for the Q&A. The questions are to be collected from the audience in advance, pre-screened, and a designated representative shall ask questions directly of Palin to avoid delay time.
Like George Bush had with the earpiece.
Where... Yeah, delay time while she furiously searches for, you know, brain cells and answers and stuff like that. Just, oh, golly, no flapping wires, oh, you betcha.
But, you know, George Bush was inadvertently doing a Bob and Ray routine when he was answering questions before they were asked.
Same age as my mother. I'm 80 years old.
Oh, you dope.
No. Oh, idiot.
Oh, did that go over the ear? Oh, crap.
I'm sorry, I got a bendy straw in my ear. That's why I couldn't hear. Sorry. Yeah, I was talking, Jim, to Contessa Brewer, and I'm like, Sarah Palin says something, and then I have to go on TV and talk about it, but she doesn't say anything.
No.
It's like verbal packing material. They're just little, like...
little popcorn things, yeah.
Yes, she spoke yesterday. Is this what their change is all about? I want to tell them, nah, we'll keep clinging to our Constitution and our guns and religion. You can keep the change.
Ha, 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 keep the change.
Oh,
that's so clever.
She said, yeah, well, let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall, you betcha.
Which parts of the Constitution does she want to cling to? Apparently not the Fourth Amendment or the First Amendment or...
The second. Oh, that's the one.
Oh, that's the only one that counts.
Presumably not the parts that George Bush already trashed. I love this part. A story about the rally yesterday. Several speakers protested suggestions of racist undertones to the movement. Nonetheless, virtually the entire speaking program and the audience were white. But apparently they were smart enough to make sure the misspelled N-word signs were removed before
they had
television
only properly spelled N-word signs. You don't want to look stupid.
Exactly. All right, go ahead. At least you spelled it right. Okay. All right. I apologize in advance, Jim. Caribou Barbie from
here. So the people in Boston and all across the U.S. were sending a message to Washington that come November, that big government, big debt, Obama, Pelosi, Reid spending spree, that they're their little children. We're here to take care of you. That agenda is over. We're voting them out. We're going to tell them you're fired.
Jeez. God.
My God.
God.
I see what Keith Olbermann was saying. My
now I know what it sounds like. Now I know what it sounds like. You know, I have a, as you know, because I have a, an SUV exemption because I have two ginormous dogs.
Yes.
So when I used to live in Laurel Canyon and I used to have to go down the hill a lot every day to work, you'd have to get like new brake pads every, you know, I don't know, a couple of months. What's that?
Or you could downshift.
You could downshift.
I could, but I didn't. But I'm a chick.
How does this thing work?
I'm a chick, so I didn't know. But so I was like, is it me or do I need new brake pads like every 2 months? But that's how it would sound. That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God, Jim, is it not like, what is that the Saturday Night Live thing, the most annoying sound in the world? What is
it? Tinnitus.
Yes,
it's that annoying
tinnitus.
Sound.
It's Sarah Palin.
They've got to put her in the new tinnitus ad. Okay, just play the beginning of that last cut. Just for a second.
All right. So the people in Boston.
Well, Jim said it really is like sawing a bicycle frame in half.
Right.
Yes.
With a bandsaw.
Yes.
Yes. I think we're all searching in our mind. Mine was my brake pads on my SUV. I was like, I what is the most annoying sound?
I could see the sparks flying when she's screeching like that. Maybe she needs a monitor so she knows what she sounds like.
Isn't there anybody on her? I mean, she's making $12 million a year. Isn't there somebody, a speech coach, that can go,
you know,
modulate.
Tone it down a little.
You have a microphone.
You don't need
don't
to scream.
You need to shriek.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's have some more.
Americans now spend 100 days out of the year working for government before we even start earning money for ourselves, for our families.
By government, you mean roads, clean water?
Yeah.
The fire department. Keep your government hands off my burning house.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Exactly.
Crap.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We don't play like that. But that's exactly what if we really were going to take anybody that has a Tea Party sign or whatever at their house. Oh, okay. Well, put out your fire yourself then. Good luck. Sarah.
Oh, you didn't really need sewers, did you?
No.
No.
It is time to remind them that government should be working for us. We should not have to work for the government.
It is working for you.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I need to stick something sharp in. Seriously.
Pierce your eardrum?
That right there, it's torture. Okay.
Instead of playing heavy metal music to, you know, our prisoners, we should play that.
I was like, I had my finger in my ear last night on TV when Ed was playing the clips before I was supposed to. I can't even talk about the substance. It's so irritating. Just the sound that I'm like, damn. Oh,
you know, Shano should set that to like really loud thrash metal. For screeching.
NWO by Ministry.
God. Meanwhile, once again, thank you, John McCain. That's all we need to say. Thank you. And did you see him yesterday? He literally was on the, he was at the get off my Senate lawn.
He was. Didn't he yell at some kids?
Politico. Yes. Politico asked him about the contradiction between him not being a maverick anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? He grew visibly irritated and snapped. I've been called 1,000 things. It's ridiculous. People can consider me whatever they want. And then he darted into the Senate chamber without explaining himself any further. Get off my Senate lawn. I didn't think it could be possible for him to get crankier than during the campaign, but he has. All right, 58, maybe standing that close to Sarah Palin's voice right next to his ear for that long. I could do it. 58 minutes after the hour. Jane Fonda next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. Mama's appearance on The Ed Show on MSNBC. Up there, you can email us all, executive producer Chris LeBoy, or Stevie Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, I think I've mentioned that, I gained the freshman 50 at
yes.
USC.
Yes, you did.
And, I'll never forget the day I ventured to Jane Fonda's workout at 6 in the morning as a sophomore-osaurus to try that out. It was a sad, sad day in my life.
A friend of mine was in that book.
All right.
The first book.
It's taken me many years to recover and be able to say, good morning, Jane Fonda.
Wait a minute. Now, what is this about it's taken you years to recover? Was I teaching?
You were teaching. In fact, I went to your class at 6 in the morning on a Saturday, and you are, it's like you're a robot or something. That was an amazing class, the Jane Fonda's workout.
Yeah, I used to teach at 5. That was when I was making 9 to 5, and I'd get up at 5 and teach this huge class and then go to work Dolly Parton and thought I was insane.
Wow.
I'd arrive all red and sweaty.
Where? And you still look the same. What? Seriously, what is your secret? I mean, is it just the exercise, or are you...
I watch what I eat, but I don't do anything, you know, excessive. I just try to eat healthy, and I stay active, even though I have a titanium and ceramic hip and knee. I'm like an old jalopy. I've had parts replaced, but I keep going, darn it.
I'll say. Yeah, I think
really,
I'm still...
That's one of the messages of the first World Fitness Day that we're doing at Georgia Dome on May 1st. We want to show that no matter how old you are, whether you're 12 or 80, you can still get healthy and get active.
Well, I can see you're slacking off. It's not starting till 8:30 on Saturday, May 1st.
Well,
so thank God you've slowed down a little.
The doors open at 8:30 for people who come early, and there's going to be a lot of interactive things for young people to do. But the actual event starts at 10. It's being kicked off by Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN. And it's myself, Richard Simmons, Denise Austin, Debbie Allen. She's going to do a salsa workout, Billy Blanks. And we're all going to teach at a level that just about anyone can do. You know, it's not going to be hard or scary. We all do it for 10 minutes to some fabulous music. And then the Pointer Sisters are going to perform. And then Ludacris is going to sing.
Wow. This sounds like an amazing event. Listen, I'm tired. I had to lay down on my couch just hearing about this. But
it's going to be like Woodstock without the rain and the drugs.
Listen, doing Jane Fonda's workout, too, I'm so excited. It's like I'm back in 1982 again.
There you go.
But it really is important. You know, we joke around, but, I mean, look at what Michelle Obama is doing. You know, I think obesity in general in our country, but childhood obesity is just a huge, huge problem, isn't it,
the
wake of this whole healthcare debate, right?
Yes, it's becoming scary. You know, for the first time, our children are not going to live as long as we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, in a country like this, it's not acceptable. We have to get young people and we have to get old people moving.
You know, you said something. In fact, you said something many years ago that I actually really found inspirational. You talked about, you know, just your struggles with weight and body issues and all of that all your life. And
eating
you said you had a... Yeah, but you said you had a much better body at 50 than you did at 20, and I'm proud to say I'm almost there, and I think that's true for me, too, that you know, you can't give up hope.
It is never too late. I mean, that is a big message. It's even if you've never worked out a day in your life, if you start moving 20 minutes, just anything that feels comfortable to you, just keep moving, you can really change your life.
Right. Well, that's the thing that people always think, oh, no, I'm getting too old, I can't. But it really is an amazing thing that I look at pictures of you, and you did have a much better body at 15, and you had a pretty damn good body at 20, may I just say.
Right. Well, I'm pretty healthy at 72.
Oh, God, are you really?
I'm 72 with a new hip and knee.
That's either incredibly inspirational or incredibly depressing. I haven't decided which.
No, it needs to be inspirational. Really.
I know. I'm looking at the picture, you know, the picture of you for the first annual World Fitness Day. It's still that same workout picture with the leg warmers, which I love, the flash dance look.
Right, it's kind of retro, but actually, I'm a blogger, and I asked my blog community, what should I wear? And they said, don't go retro, don't do the leg warmers,
yeah.
You know, wear the yoga pants. But we're people who aren't able to come to Atlanta for the event, we're going to be streaming live on Ustream and Facebook/Jane Fonda. But if you want to find out more, you can go to worldfitnessday.org and find out how to sign up and join us.
And, well, and we have a link to that up at stephaniemiller.com as well.
Oh, so. Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, you know, I won't make it to Atlanta this time, unfortunately. I'm going to need to wait till you're in your 90s, I think, so I can feel better about myself. But
Right now's the time.
That's right.
Don't put it
but,
off.
But I hope everyone else will join Jane Fonda for First Annual World Fitness
People
Day.
People are coming from all over, Canada, Mexico, Minneapolis. Everywhere.
Exactly, and you'll get exercise just walking there. Don't even bother with transportation. Jane Fonda, what a pleasure to finally meet you on the phone, and good luck, and keep on doing that great work.
Next year you'll come, right?
Yes. Of course. Okay, I need have a year to get in shape.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Bye.
There she goes.
It's actually funny when you look at pictures of women in the 1960s, including Jane Fonda in the Barbarella era.
Yes.
They had no muscle tone at all.
Right.
And,
oh, I know.
It just looks weird now. Because we're used to women having, you know, not
like Madonna, but...
No, but, I mean, but, you know, toned is sexy. You don't have to be the Hulk, you know.
Yeah,
but,
Madonna's gone a little too far. She's Edgar Winter at this point.
Edgar Winter.
Women need a little bit of body fat, a little something.
A little bit of curviness.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I should have asked her. I forgot exactly how many. There must have been, I think there was like 1,000 leg lifts per class. And Jane Fonda's workout back in the...
Yeah. Of course, that was pre-low impact, so I wonder if...
led to the ceramic and hip and knee.
Because some of that stuff turned out...
She goes, as it turns out, maybe 100 is enough.
But just stomping on the ground a lot, probably, not in the long run, not all that good for you.
Exactly. All right. What do you say we dive into the right-wing world, kids?
Sure.
Why, thank you. What, like I was asking?
you were ordering me.
All right.
That was a rhetorical question.
Exactly. Tucker Carlson on the Britt Baer Show.
Unless Congress shows real evidence of a willingness to address entitlements, by which I mean cut them back dramatically, right? And it showed no evidence ever of willingness to do that. This will spawn, I think, possibly a third party, a powerful political movement that challenges both, particularly Democrats, but both parties.
No, it's going to drag down the Republicans.
Yeah. And Republicans only.
Wait, can I just ask something? What are they talking about by entitlements?
Yeah, which ones? Social Security? Yeah,
yes,
so Tucker Carlson needs that. Then it's like,
healthcare
but
the health care reform was insurance reform. Nobody's getting free health care.
Right.
It's like, we're not giving something away. It's all right.
That's, Republicans always talk about entitlements.
Well, it's a Frank Luntzism.
Right.
Yeah.
Just don't spell out what it is.
Right.
Get your government hands off my Medicare.
Mm-hmm. See how I fell into that trap? I fell into the Luntz.
You certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
Luntz is good at that.
Mm-hmm.
We need our own Frank Luntz here on the left.
Yeah, and I hate when Bill Maher has him on because it
legitimizes him.
Doughy face. Well, you know, this is,
I don't think his looks have anything to do
with it. I mean, the problem is because they're transparent about going, just lie.
I mean, it's psyops. I mean this is what we used to do to other countries, and they've done it to us now. Working people to vote against their own interests.
Yeah. I mean, this is how, you know, the memos are out, Jim, on financial reform. It's just, here's how you help the big banks. It's like, and on cue, Mitch McChinless is there on the Senate floor going, this is going to lead to more bailouts. It's no.
No, that's a lie.
This is exactly the opposite of what this bill is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, look at me. See? I fell forward again.
Yes,
but
you did.
Most people watch Fox News because that's what's offered to them. That's been forced down their throats. Everywhere you look, Fox News is on the TV.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rush Limbaugh on financial reform.
There's no other way to describe this. This is this is fascism. This is the government taking over. And the companies will continue to be run, like GM and Chrysler are, by so-called private citizens. But they're owned by the government. Well, that's not fascism. That's command and control. Is what it is. Fascism was privately owned, government run. This is the government's going to own it all. Any financial institution it wants, it can just take over.
Excuse me, but
that's false as well.
Might I ask if that's factually correct in any way? Because isn't GM turning a profit finally?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they paid back the money, right?
They have.
What, so the government
Rush Limbaugh said something that wasn't true?
You know, that's it, Jim. As many years as I do this, I'm a little bit Dorothy. What? What? I don't... Well, that's not true. How can I say that? All right, I don't...
Why didn't you tell me I just clipped my heels together, bitch? You put me through all that?
Maybe you're just so used to important Republicans like your father never lying to you that you think that all Republicans don't lie to you. Maybe that's it.
Naivete and defense of liberty is no vice.
All right. Glenn Beck on the radio on Progressives.
Democrats will destroy our nation.
Progressives will. I mean...
Yeah, progressives.
You know, progressives would, you know, and that's in both parties. Both parties will destroy our nation if they keep on this path.
What path is that?
Yeah, what progressives are there in the Republican Party, just out of curiosity?
I think the last one was Teddy Roosevelt.
Right. Yeah.
They've gotten progressively crazier, I'll give you that. But, all right. You know what? All the Sarah Palin and the right-wing world has given me a bit of indigestion. I need to pause briefly and talk to you about P90X, which, damn, I wish I had this, but when I was battling Jane Fonda back in the 80s, if I'd known about such a thing. But now I do. See, we know so much more about fitness these days, and that's why P90X is here. It's a home workout. You don't have to put on the leg warmers and drive to Beverly Hills to be with Jane
Fonda. Leg warmers
are
optional.
Yeah. Did you drive from USC to Beverly Hills every morning?
I did. No, just the once. That was enough.
Oh, just the once. Okay.
18 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids can relate to this show. These guys aren't phonies.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm. Oh, I reflexively do my Jane Fonda's workout kicks to that song. I can't help myself. Like Pavlov's dog. All right, it is the
dog had leg warmers.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I told you I got extra exercise on P90X by fending Fred off. Many of the exercises make him very excited, and there's you know, you need to make defensive moves, which also give you muscle tone.
Does he try to hump you?
Yeah, he tried to hump Hal Sparks the other morning. I told you.
Does Hal try to hump you when you're doing your P90X?
That's probably the more important question.
In your dreams.
That's another story. Yeah, Hal was explaining, Fred continues to ghost hump even when there's nothing to hump. He just, like, you know, he has to take us a while to stop.
All right. My parents have a new puppy, and when I was home visiting them, you know, the puppy hasn't been fixed yet because he's too young. And, I got injured, actually, when he was trying to hump me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, I did. The puppy tends to grab on really, really hard.
Wow, I think that happened to one of Tiger Woods' horses. Interesting. Yeah, some dogs, I think, are so manly, like Fred, it just doesn't take, because he's been fixed, but it, you know, it doesn't take.
Yeah, one of our cats is that way, too. He's forgotten that he... No.
Jim, do the sound of the cat in heat.
Oh, boy. Well, they're Siamese, so it's kind of hard to replicate. It sounds like, well, it's, you think you're on acid or something, or you're being haunted. It's, you know, picture both of them doing it at the same time. Yeah, it's wild.
It might be louder in your house than in New York.
I can't I can't be on the phone when they're doing that. I gotta
jeez.
Let me call you right back. The cats are talking to me.
All right. Speaking of things that make you afeard, like Siamese cats in the middle of the night, here's what Sean Hannity is afeard of.
I will tell you, one of the things I fear the most is Barack Obama catering to the world's dictators is literally the Neville Chamberlain of our time.
Come on. Yeah, first of all, Republicans during World War II identified with Neville Chamberlain.
Thank you.
The isolationists.
Yes, I think Keith Olbermann gave Sean that little history lesson yesterday as well. Oh boy. Okay.
And, you know, he was a bit of a tool for not the reasons that Sean thinks.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if there's anyone that's less bright than Sean Hannity, I think it would be Brian Kilmeade.
He's a failed sportscaster, you know.
Yes, wow. On the Fox and Friends with Gretchen Carlson.
The one thing is, you can say that they did accomplish a few things. They got, for example, Vietnam, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Chile, and Canada to give up their low-grade uranium. Vietnam's got low-grade uranium? Yeah, who gave them that?
But a lot of people
and
would
Canada?
Say, so what? Well, so, I mean, a lot of people would say, so what? Were we really feeling threatened by those countries?
It's hey, not Dopey. The countries, you morons.
God, they're such idiots over there.
It's because this stuff is lying around, and they don't. It's not under control by a steady government.
See, terrorists might. Dopey, hello, Gretchen.
All over
Pay
the
attention.
Former Soviet Union, there's this stuff just lying around in warehouses.
Oh, that's just weird. I think that's what Gretchen Carlson's head sounds like if you go like that on it.
Oh, I think you're right.
Gretchen? Dopey, they're trying not to get terrorists to have access
exactly.
to loose nukes like that. It's not that those countries...
Well, if Vietnam's not going to launch a rocket at us, you're that stupid.
Are you allowed to be that stupid? I guess on Fox News you are.
And to think that...
Do you think there was at least producers somewhere in the control room going, oh, you moron, it's not those countries that threaten us. It's the whole point of this is to secure loose nukes from terrorists.
And to think...
I don't get it. How come...
How's my hair?
Were they really threatening us as countries?
I didn't think Canada was going to bomb us.
Do you think someone actually told her during the commercial break and then she went, well, no one told me we had to know that.
I didn't know I was going to be on the final.
And to think that she is just blocks from you right now.
Wow.
I can feel the stupid rays. Okay, prostitute toe sucker. Ooh, that's even scarier. Mm-hmm. That's a few blocks from me right now.
Yeah.
I'm an extinct species,
yeah.
Bill. I used to be a conservative Democrat.
Right.
We don't exist anymore. You're either a liberal Obama Democrat or you're a Republican, and I'm a Republican.
So you are a full-blown, flat-out Republican GOP guy.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm an extinct species, Bill. Homo bean bagicus.
I'm a succohosaurus.
We went extinct because our lungs didn't have capacity to feel these gigantic bodies.
I'm the last of the succohotosauruses, Bill. All right. Oh, Hannity.
All right. Now, thousands of supporters were on hand for the rally earlier today. And on the other hand, it was estimated that only about 100 anti-Tea Party protesters showed up. Now, that certainly says a lot about whose side the momentum is on right now in America, doesn't it?
No. It doesn't.
No, not at all.
Some estimates are like 1,000 to 2,000 people in on the entire Boston Common yesterday.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. And we've got better things to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, please.
My God, what a dope.
Doesn't that show you prove that Obama's a socialist?
No.
Yeah, and let's see, the very first race since health care passed. Oh, a Democrat won that. Yeah, that's I guess that shows which way the... Okay, thanks for checking in. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with the rockin' Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Are you typical of Earth women?
I'm about average.
That was Jane Fonda.
Oh.
From Barbarella.
Our earlier guest today.
That's right.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of, awesome women, but are awesome women in real life. It's not even a character. It's an actual congresswoman, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky. Good morning,
Hi,
congresswoman.
Stephanie, how are you?
I am all right.
Good.
You're every time I pick up a paper, you're doing something rockin'. Now, you have along with Dianne Feinstein, the Health Insurance Rate Authority Act, which I've been asking this question. When, we've heard about these rate increases all over the place, I'm like, what's going to stop them from doing that? And then I should have known it's Jan Schakowsky.
Well, we think that we're going to be able to make a simple fix in the health care bill that gives the government authority when there are these excessive rate increases to actually modify those rates. And if they've raised the rates too high, to force the insurance companies to give a rebate. Because you know what? They're shameless. Mm-hmm. Even exposing them right now for these 40%, 60% rate increases, it doesn't seem to shame them enough to stop it. And so we're going to have to do it for them. We're going to have to make rules where we can actually modify those rates. 26 states, including my state, don't have the authority to do one thing about rates except to kind of publicize what they are, which everybody knows anyway.
And you point out the bill does not usurp power from states that already have the ability to review and modify unreasonable rate increases, and does not say the states can't go above and beyond what they're already doing. But as you say, it's to help in states that don't have this. Because it seems like, I mean, I've already heard of a couple of these executives going on record saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have to raise rates now, and it's going to be the Democrats' fault because of this health care reform.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard me question Angela Braly. She's the CEO of WellPoint. I asked this, some might consider an impolite question when I asked her how much money she made. And she told me that she made $1.2 million, $8 million in stock options, and $75,000 in some kind of a bonus. That was last year. But now she's gotten a 51% increase. She's making $13 million in stock options and $1.5 million in a bonus because WellPoint made a cool additional $2 billion in profit. So when they say they have to do it because they're just not making enough money now that the Democrats have passed this, but that is just absolutely crazy. Do not pass the hat for Angela Braly or any of these other executives.
Yep. Well, you know, that's both of our jobs in different ways, is to be impolite.
I'm learning from you. No, I take your lead.
So, Congresswoman, let's talk about, obviously, jobs, because that's, the president yesterday talking about there obviously has been improvement, but we need more. So what's next?
Well, there's no question that we need to create more jobs, and we will. But, you know, on this particular day, we ought to at least revel for just a moment in some of the successes. Not to say that people aren't still hurting out there. But, you know, the Republicans like to say that the Recovery Act did nothing, didn't create one single job. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's a new report from the Council of Economic Advisers that says that the act was responsible for about 2.5 million jobs. And on this great tax day, what we find is that there are record-breaking $3,000 refunds that are coming to Americans, up about 10% from last year. That's the average refund that people are getting. So, you know, that we have actually cut taxes about $200 billion for middle class and lower middle class families. And at the same time, the GDP, the growth of the economy has gone up significantly. So we're heading in the right direction. Do we want to do everything we can in terms of adding more benefits for small businesses to do more hiring, help to states so that they're able to not lay off people and even to hire more? We're gonna do all that this year. But you've seen the results of what we've done so far. Last month we added 162,000 jobs to the economy. That hasn't happened at that rate for many years.
Doesn't it annoy you that it keeps getting called the mainstream, the liberal media, and yet Mitt Romney can go on TV and say the stimulus has not created one single private sector job, and no one challenges him?
They're so mad that we did.
Right.
And that's right. No, absolutely. Those assertions, which are just blatantly false, need to be challenged. I mean, people should not get away with that. And, you know, when we've got the data, we've got the objective numbers that show that, then when he says it creates no jobs, he absolutely ought to say, where is your proof? look at, you know, we've got even Obama critics like this guy Phil Swagel, who was an assistant treasury secretary, is quoted in Business Week as saying their economic policies, including the stimulus, have helped move the economy in the right direction. Yep. Okay, right direction, better than wrong direction. They're still not giving a lot of credit, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, and here we go again on financial reform, right? I mean, you know, the as we've been talking about all morning, the Frank Luntz memo has gone out, and, you know, they're going to parrot these untruths. Oh, this is going to lead to more bailouts when, you know, I think any objective view of what this is a very strong bill that will do exactly the opposite, isn't it?
Exactly the opposite. I mean, it is so Orwellian, you know, to say the opposite of what it really does. And, of course, these guys, meantime, maybe they got their talking points when they went and met with the Wall Street boys. I don't know that this is what we ought to say. But, of course, the Republicans have been going to them and saying, essentially, give us your money and we'll stop the regulation. We'll do our best to put a halt to that. But, you know,
well, the same as healthcare. We'll try to weaken it and weaken it and weaken it. And, you know, well, maybe we'll try to do something bipartisan and, you know, water it down. And it sounds like the White House this time is saying no way.
No way. And I think it's at their peril that the Republicans will vote against this because, you know, a number, if you listen carefully to the Tea Partiers, they are anti-Wall Street as well.
Right.
They don't like the big banks. They don't like the big insurance companies. And so I think they could be in some danger if they vote against this. It was interesting when we passed in the House eliminating the antitrust exemption from the insurance companies, you know, that they're allowed legally to set prices and markets, et cetera. Most of the Republicans voted with us. Because I think they saw the writing on the wall, that their base doesn't like, you know, to give everything to the insurance companies either.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and we're going to hear the same thing again. Oh, we're rushing this. You know, and Tim Geithner said yesterday, it's been 2.5 years since this crisis started, more than a year since we first laid out a comprehensive set of reforms. I think we know what we need to know. It's just time to decide and time to move. You know, obviously, you've got to prevent this from happening again, right?
Yes, we do, and yes, we will. You know, but this thing about how this is all Obama's fault, Barney Frank says something funny. You know, there are those people who believe that the world was created 2,000 years ago, but nobody really thinks the world was created in January of 2009.
Right.
You know,
yes.
which I really love. Because, you know, if you look at the incredible progress since this administration, since Barack Obama's become president, and this Congress has been working, the progress has really been quite remarkable.
Mark
Zandi, who's the chief economist at Moody's, says massive, unprecedented, and ultimately successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's just every fight we get into, you know, there's a Republican standing on the side of insurance companies. Now they're on the side of big banks. I'm watching the president on, you know, TV right now as we're speaking, talking about mine safety. You know, and once again, you know, here's the head of this mine, big Republican activist, you know, less regulation. We need less regulation and environmental, you know, controls and all of that. And then look what happens.
I mean, the shamelessness of that. I mean, that guy ought to be in jail. You know, I mean, this is unacceptable. And I really do think, notice how the repeal idea really has calmed down now that people, I think, are taking a really good look at what this health care bill does for them. Don't tell me that there aren't people, even at those rallies, that need to understand, if they don't already, that their child with asthma is now going to be able to get health insurance. That if they're a senior citizen, expect $250 back to help pay for your prescription drugs. You know,
well, I mean, and how would you like to be running on something that you can't even deliver? And, you know,
right,
it's like,
it's
so ridiculous. Exactly. They know that the president would, even if they got majorities, the president would veto it. You know, it's like you saying you'll get everyone a free lunch with Oprah if they vote for you, you know.
I think I did say, no, I didn't say, I didn't. But, you know, the other thing I think the Republicans realize that in some ways the health care bill was so important for them to defeat because it was like a clog in the drain that if they succeeded there, nothing else would be able to pass through. Yep. And now that health care, which of course is so important in and of itself, but now that it's done, it means that we can move on with the next agenda, which is controlling Wall Street. And I think it becomes harder and harder for them to stop these reforms.
Well, it seems like all they have is lies or misinformation. We actually played a clip of Rush Limbaugh yesterday blaming unions for the mine disaster. He said, where were the unions here? What? Because they weren't allowed to unionize. That's where the unions were.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, you know, what are you going to say? It's the same play they seem to run every time. It's protecting, you know, big business, big banks, big insurance companies. And, you know, it really has become Main Street versus Wall Street, hasn't it?
And so I think one of the things that we have to say is not only to describe why, for example, the health care bill is so good for people, but to contrast that with what the Republicans have offered, which is absolutely nothing. And had they been in charge, then there would have been, escalating prices and less health care for more people, and it would have been an utter disaster for the total economy. So we just have to keep reminding people that they have said no to every kind of reform for regular middle-income people, and that they have sided with the insurance companies, with the big banks, and perhaps with the mining companies as well.
The very impolite Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois doing the Lord's work so impolitely and so well. Thank you so much, Congresswoman,
as always. Thanks so much, Steph. Okay,
all right, there she goes, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky.
Yeah, that's just rude to suggest we need more regulation in the mine. That's crazy.
Yes, it's rude. All right, 46. I'm sure they'll have something bad to say about the president today, saying, you know, maybe I'll look into this a little bit, into the whole mind safety thing. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after
that?
The hour. It's the bark in her little song. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I think that was what's her name for missing persons.
Yeah.
Del Bozio.
Yes.
Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steph.
Hey, Steph. You know, last night I was watching the news and I had my TV on mute and all of a sudden I saw Sarah Palin, so I clicked the button and her voice is so screechy, my two cats bolted from the room. Now, I live by a firehouse, so they're kind of used to high pitch, you know, screechy noises, but
yes.
she's a danger and, you know, Velociraptor, yes.
Yes, I think people's garage doors open, their IUDs fly out. It's
IUDs fly out?
Does anyone still have those?
Was there a danger of that?
Josephine.
They still left up there from the 70s?
Exactly, ones that were lodged and weren't even able to be removed through surgery can now be removed through a Sarah Palin soundbite. Okay. Joseph in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I heard the Palin speech yesterday, and she said something about how you work 100 days a year before for the government before you ever make any money.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and she thought the government should be working for us and not us for it.
Well, I think she means that she's only worked for 100 days before she's quit any particular job. I think that's what she means.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody works for you and you don't pay them, aren't you a slave owner?
I can't listen to the soundbite again to even determine what she meant. I don't even want to.
So the people in Boston and all across the U.S.
Someone wrote in and said Sarah Palin's voice in that Boston speech sounds like somebody has a vice on Minnie-Me's nutsack.
Oh, dear. All right.
Maybe that should be her running mate if she runs again.
Mini-me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Squat. Okay. TMZ has learned that Larry King is filing for divorce.
Yeah.
See? I knew that I would move up the list eventually. If
alimony,
I was
hello. I'm just wondering if you had anything to do with it.
I don't think so. I could be number nine. This is the eighth.
Number nine. Number nine.
It's his seventh wife, but his eighth divorce.
Yes, he married someone twice.
Right.
Yes.
I'm a right old man, I'm Henry. Henry the eighth, I am.
Number nine, hello. I'm a little reticent, Chris, as I love Larry King, and he's a friend of mine and gives me so much airtime to read all the snarkly blogger headlines. Larry King divorces 250th wife.
Oh.
He shouldn't be too darn hearted about his latest divorce. After all, Elizabeth Taylor is still alive and kicking. Sooner or later, they're both going to be statistically the only person on earth the other one hasn't gotten married to yet.
That's
true. You just can't deny fate, that's
true. Although Elizabeth Taylor hasn't been married since the 90s.
Yeah, she gave up
at
some point.
Stephanie Miller, goodbye. Never coming back on the show.
Yeah,
news I probably shouldn't cover.
You can't marry him because then he'll eventually divorce you and you'll never be welcome back on the show.
Oh, but, I think it would be even more entertaining because it would be so awkward.
But the alimony would be.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic.
All right. I told you he offered me a ride back in the plane last time, going back to L.A. Last time he was in New York. Come on. I got a plane. You want to go back to L.A.? I'm like, all right.
You're not going to be flying it, are you?
No.
My suspenders got caught in the yoke. Ground,
wow,
hello.
Here's some more breaking.
Oh, God.
Celebrity breakup news. Mel Gibson and whoever, Oksana, Russian girlfriend, mother of their... have split after a year of dating and procreating. They just drifted apart.
Hmm.
Yeah. Said a close friend. That's having a child is what you do when you're, drifting apart. And then you do that. And
I wonder what the former Mrs. Gibson thinks of that.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, we'll get to all the, what do you call it, the straight family value stories before we get to the... Michelle Bombshell, who is she? I forget.
She was Jesse James's
tattoo
covered.
Oh, I can't keep track of who's hoes or who now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a Jesse James hoe?
That was a Jesse James hoe.
This is the Hal Sparks line. She says, I want to say to the rest of the country, stop taking it out of the mistresses and start taking it out of the men who are cheating on their wives.
Yeah, but it takes two to tango.
Exactly.
Yeah,
take it out on both.
Both of them. How about both of them?
I had no choice. He asked me and I said yes. Well, there's another alternative.
The superficial writes, she says, why are these men getting off scot-free while the mistresses are considered whores and we're stepped on and we're booed and called nasty names? It's the man's responsibility. They're the ones in the marriage. They need to keep their vows.
Yeah, but...
Right. Once again, both of you hoes. It's both of yous.
And it's not like women don't screw around, too.
Yeah. Superficial
they're
writes...
They're better at justifying their bad behavior.
Superficial writes, yes, clearly the entire blame lays on the man and not at all on the naked woman pointing to her tattooed and saying, yes, you can stick your married in here.
Yes, exactly my point.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
All right. Oh, boy. The superficial also writing, Charlie Sheen is a great husband. Because threatening to kill her on Christmas wasn't enough, Charlie Sheen has reportedly been cheating on his wife in their bed, according to Radar Online.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
He has been busted cheating with photographs surfacing of him wearing a ridiculous fake mustache disguise while meeting Angelina.
Wait a minute, not the Angelina.
No.
Angelina.
Okay.
He met her through an escort website. Because, his taste in women is...
No, she's not hoary enough. Send me
another one. He originally started with this. A lot of the women mentioned for the Supreme Court opening, but then they weren't available, so he went to the escort website.
Hmm.
After a while, he took her back to the house when Brooke wasn't there. A superficial writing, I really want to feel sympathy for Brooke Mueller again, but what did she expect marrying Charlie Sheen? I'm amazed he didn't punch her in the while exchanging vows.
Oh.
It's the word for boob.
Okay.
Minister, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? As long as she lets me bang hookers, pow.
Oh, God.
On a related note, I saw John Cryer at the tire store the other day. You both had flats.
That was
the other of the half men.
Yes.
All right.
He's the other man.
You're right.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Sounds just like that gal who was on the show last week.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Moore, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, it's one of those days, Jim, when dreams come true. Jane Fonda on the show earlier. Mm-hmm. And then Chris calls and he says, "Would you like? Where's my fun facts music?" He says, "Would you like? I don't know, the guy that makes sure President Obama receives research and analysis on the economy that will inform his decision making. A guy selected wow. in 2005 by the Financial Times as one of the 6 gurus of the future, named one of 100 global leaders for tomorrow at the 2002 World Economic Forum." I said, "Why? He sounds like he might know what he's talking about on the economy."
And I can hear him debate Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And we would know him from the White House. Austin Goolsbee joins us this morning. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
We don't often get a guest of your caliber, so I'm very excited.
I almost was a scratch because I was up till late last night doing my taxes.
Oh, even members of the Council of Economic Advisors have to do their taxes.
Yeah, I thought I could do it out of principle.
Exactly. Austin, you know, I've been talking to a couple of congresspeople this morning that I just am always amazed. I saw Mitt Romney on TV, I think it was the day before yesterday, and he said the stimulus has not created one single private sector job. And, of course, the interviewer didn't challenge him on that.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
No, it's not. It's crazy. The thing is, the Council of Economic Advisors puts out a quarterly report about everything from every source of evidence. What do we know about the impact of the stimulus?
Right.
The most generous way to look at it, which I don't think is true, but the most generous way is that maybe they're just confused. The fact that we're down in a deep hole, deepest since 1929, they confuse how much deeper it would be if we hadn't created these jobs. Mm-hmm. So they just can't get past the fact that since the recession started in 2007, we lost more than 8 million jobs.
Right.
But it approaches willful disregard of the facts if you're not even going to look at the reports or go to recovery.gov and look at what the stimulus actually did. And the best kind of evidence to look at, I think, in addition to just seeing, look, here are projects where people are being hired, is to go look at what the forecasters or the Congressional Budget Office or anybody who's completely nonpartisan, what were they predicting the job situation was going to be or predicting where the economy would be now? And if you remember, a year ago, it was pretty close to universal consensus that it would be an entire year before we saw any economic growth of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
They thought all of 2009 was going to be a bust and a negative number. And it turned out because we passed the stimulus, we got pretty robust positive growth in the economy starting halfway through the year last year.
Right.
And there's fairly wide consensus that the stimulus has created close to 2.5 million jobs.
Now, and recently we've had what?
We've had
162,000 non-farm jobs added?
Yes, for last month. It was definitely a positive report. Though, mm-hmm. look, you want a trend before you start saying we've fully turned the corner. And we, as I say, we start from way, way behind the eight ball from when this recession began. So the labor market is still in bad shape. But hopefully we've turned the corner and now we're going to be growing on a fairly steady basis.
Absolutely. Now, talk to us. Yesterday, the president had a meeting on financial regulatory reform. Wow, I don't know what to say about that. You know, it's supposed to be a bipartisan meeting. Mitch McConnell says, the bipartisan talks have broken down.
the thing was, the leadership of the Republican Party had clearly just been handed some talking points from their consultants, and they were going to read them. It doesn't matter what's actually in the bill or not. So they just kept getting up saying, this is a bailout bill. The bill specifically forbids bailouts. It requires if a company comes to failure, they have to be liquidated or broken up and sold off, all the management fired, and the shareholders wiped out. So it's the opposite of a bailout. But here I'm actually I'm somewhat encouraged and somewhat discouraged. I'm discouraged that they're using that as cover to basically just try to join up forces with the big bank lobbyists to prevent regulating derivatives, to prevent making the financial institutions pay for the TARP losses, a series of things like that. But I'm encouraged because I actually think it's going to be a bipartisan bill, because I don't think regular rank-and-file Republican members are going to stand up in front of America and say, oh, well, you know what? I think the American people should pay for the TARP losses rather than the banks that created the problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to say, oh, you know what? I want to put in loopholes so that derivatives can remain totally non-transparent and threaten to blow up the world the way they did in this crisis. I just don't think they're going to do that.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi was saying that Obama, you know, basically asked Republicans at the meeting, do you want to rein in Wall Street?
Right.
It seems like it's a simple question, right?
Right. And, look, I agree with Speaker Pelosi. And she said this whole thing about bailouts is ridiculous. I mean, it's almost laughable, was her quote. I think it's fully laughable. Maybe in the morning it was almost laughable. By the afternoon it was laughable.
Yeah, exactly. You started a joke. They've set the whole world laughing. You know, you were talking about the TARP fund. I know that Tim Geithner wrote an op-ed piece. In it, he says, we are repairing our financial system at a much lower cost than anybody anticipated and expect to return hundreds of billions of dollars in available but unused TARP resources to the American people. I'm not sure people even realize that, right?
I think you're right. And it's pretty amazing how they it has been managed very well. Everyone thinks it's a $700 billion expense, but we have managed it, and now it's down. I mean, it's still a large number, but it's down to some expected to be $87 billion instead of $700 billion. But at $87 billion, the American people should not pay 1 cent of that. That should be paid, and the TARP law says the financial sector should cover the losses. And so the president put forward the financial responsibility fee, which says, here's how the financial institutions will cover the TARP losses. They're now down there lobbying. We're up to five lobbyists per member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They're just lobbying. No, they shouldn't have to pay. And the Republicans thus far appear to be, at least the leadership, appear to be supporting that bank view that it should be the American people who pay for the TARP losses instead of the financial institutions.
Well, once again, it's, you know, on health care, they're sort of parroting the insurance company talking points, and these appear to be the Wall Street talking points that I guess they've gotten in all these recent meetings they've had with the Wall Street.
You know,
here's how
you
kill financial reform. I mean, it's And like you say, but on this one, you look at the polls and the American people, you know, clearly no fan of the big banks, right?
Yeah, look, I'm no political expert. On content grounds, this is good policy. But my amateur view of the politics, as I say, is this is going to be a bipartisan bill, because what the Republican leadership is asking their members to do is, I mean, this is now going to go to the floor of the Senate. And the only way to change it is to stand up publicly and say, I'm for amending this bill to add loopholes and to get rid of the bank fee. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they're going to do that. Or if they do, you know, Mitch McConnell is getting them killed.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have to disagree with you for the first time in the interview. I'm not sure how amateur your view of politics can be when you work in the White House. Thanks for your humility. Well, you know, Tim Geithner says in his piece, it's simply unacceptable to walk away from this recession without fixing the system's basic flaws that helped to create it. You know, once again, the Republicans, oh, we're rushing this. We've got to go back to the table. And Tim Geithner said, we've known this for whatever it is, 2 years. We've had a plan out here. We just have to do it.
Stearns collapsed that was more than 2 years ago. So I think Secretary Geithner I thought his op-ed was very insightful, and that one is an important insight of the opponents of this thing. If you think about it, they know that their view of let's just try to change the rules to keep the status quo is deeply unpopular. So instead, you're seeing the Republicans, they're just saying, oh, well, let's wait. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's try to work on this together. They have shown no. They could have done that for the last 2 years. They've shown no interest in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You know, we just were playing a soundbite, I think, in Right Wing World earlier of, you know, someone saying, oh, it's just, well, you know, these government takeovers of the auto industry. Well, isn't GM turning a profit now? Didn't they repay? I mean,
yeah.
The problem
okay,
is, I mean, the thing is, these bailouts weren't, yeah. They weren't popular, but they've actually worked, haven't they?
I think that's right. And look, let's not forget the financial bailouts and all that stuff. That began under Bush. The TARP law
right.
passed under Bush. We have to come in, change the direction, manage this in a way that got the money paid back. But whatever's still there, the 80-something billion, the financial institutions should pay that. The president's been quite clear. And the Republicans don't want them to. And I don't know what their motivation is. I hope it's not a bad motivation, but I just think they're going to lose on that.
Since when have they not had our best interests at heart, Austin? you know, the one story I loved, I don't know if you saw it on Politico, the headline is Obama dares GOP to fight Wall Street bill. I mean, and I guess the gist of it is, I hope that we've learned our lesson on health care, that, you know, he's not going to water this down to just get anything on the way, you know, many felt that he had to on health care. You think we're going to get a strong financial regulation bill?
I think we're going to get a strong bill, and I think that strong bill is going to have bipartisan support. I really do. Now, it's never going to have the support of the Republican leadership because, as I always say, they're like the old East German judge at the Olympics. It really doesn't matter if Obama hits a triple flip. They're giving him a two. I mean, so I don't expect it to be 100% support, but I think there are a lot of Republicans, you know, centrists, pragmatic. They're going to look at the bill and they're going to say, I actually agree with what's in here. I'm not opposing this. Forget them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Austin Goolsbee, you speak financial so the rest of us can understand. Thank you so much.
It was great talking to you, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. There he goes. Austin Goolsbee from the White House, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Wow. From the Council of Economic Advisors. How about that there?
It's a man, baby. Oh, wrong, Austin. That's sorry.
No, that's different. Kind of Austin. Okay. He speaks, I don't speak financialese, but I understood what he's saying.
Yeah.
And he's funny.
Well, yeah. He needs to be a more visible spokesperson for the Obama administration.
Oh, he's been on. We've played his sound bites quite a bit, and he's been on The Daily Show and, you know, and all those places. So
yeah, they don't normally talk directly to us, Jim, unless we say we're calling from somewhere else.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah, we said we were calling from The Daily Show.
The Daily Show. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure we are. Yeah. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Believe me, this is so deeply warped, even I get it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Helen in Fairfax, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Helen.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I was just flipping over on my XM to CNN during your break, and I listened to them talking about this big Tea Party rally down in Washington in the Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
And there were only a few counter-protesters, but there were an awful lot of Tea Partiers. There were several hundred.
Tea Partiers? Yeah.
Several hundred Tea Partiers, and they were talking about how big that was and compared to just a few counter-protesters.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, according to Sean Hannity, that shows that
the corporate news network.
Why?
Well, and you know, counter protesters, you know, people like that tend to have jobs and
yeah.
stuff.
Yes. Seriously, would you take time to go to a teabagger rally to go?
Well,
oh,
it
I disagree.
Proves that they have their finger on
momentum.
The pulse of the nation
because I value hard work.
Oh my God.
Sander in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the stimulus. Hey, Sander.
Hi.
Hi.
I normally just listen, but what you said, that Mitt Romney said, made me so mad. Because I recently interviewed for a job here in Seattle at one of our local housing authorities.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a human resources job, and it said in the description that the department was being expanded by a grant made possible through upcoming ARRA funds.
Huh.
I know.
To me, that is a stimulus job, and somebody got it, and it wasn't me.
Oh.
But they told me someone got it. So.
Well, Mitt Romney says you didn't get it because you're delusional, and that didn't even happen.
Yeah, well, I feel delusional sometimes when I watch TV lately, but that was very real.
All right, time to go back and talk to your fictional best friend after you got back from your fictional job interview for your fictional stimulus job.
Yeah.
Good luck with the next one.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go to watch. It's crazy. Mike and Madison on the Teabaggers. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm just hoping there's some Madisonites that want to join me at 11:30 at the state capitol with a cup of coffee, maybe even drinking out of Big Eddie's mug I'm going to bring with me, and let these Tea Partiers know what's really up.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to do that in Madison because there are a lot of students there. Students don't have set schedules that people who have jobs have. So.
Yeah, you mean compared to, say, Oklahoma or Texas? I agree. I probably wouldn't do it. I probably wouldn't have stickers on my car. I'd be dead already. But this is Madison. Let's do it.
Madison can do it.
Woohoo! Party in Madison. By the way, Jim, you and I can attest, nobody's drinking coffee.
No.
At 11 o'clock in the morning in Madison.
Drinking beer at 8 in the morning.
Hello.
It's Madison.
Beer time starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we come to the place and, here, have a beer. Want some beer?
Oh, okay. Did you turn it down?
No.
Okay, then.
Don't be ridiculous. All right, I was finishing up a celebrity stack. Oh, how many stories do you think I did in a row about straight marriages breaking up? Larry King, I don't know. Whatever.
Alimony, hello.
The whole stack was about mm-hmm. Tiger and Jesse James and, I don't know, Mel Gibson and...
My bank account. No, goodbye. Oksana Bayul.
Yes. Yeah. Not that one.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
She's with Ron Wood.
No.
Glee star Jane Lynch confirms her engagement to her longtime girlfriend.
Hooray!
What?
I'm so disillusioned. No,
what?
Not really.
That's going to ruin marriage. That's probably what caused Larry King's latest.
Yes. Damn you, Jane Lynch.
That's hilarious.
We're very happy for her.
Yes.
Have you seen that video that she
good for her. She's hilarious.
Have you seen the video that she did? It's a shot-by-shot remake of Madonna's Vogue video.
Ah,
and, you
I
know,
have not.
Since next week is Madonna Week on Glee, they put this out, you know, in advance of that, and it is hysterical.
Everything she does is hysterical.
And she sings it herself, and she sounds really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of Madonna, her daughter has enrolled in the Fame, you know, the Fame High School in New York.
So Lourdes. Lourdes.
Yes, where you pay in sweat or, I don't know, whatever the thing is Debbie Allen said. You remember. What was it, Jim?
I don't remember.
Where you start paying something. some students at the school are concerned that she got preferential treatment by having a private audition.
Really?
Public opportunity to humiliate yourself. I wonder if she's saying Hot Lunch Jam or something. Or Dogs in the Yard, or I don't
know. Or I wonder if she's going to have to take off her clothes at an audition.
All right. Figure skating legend Dorothy.
You still like her, considering her background.
Well, yeah, exactly, considering her breeding.
Figure skating legend Dorothy Hamill threw a curveball when asked why it was nice to be a woman at the Good Housekeeping anniversary event in New York. The entertainment site Fox 411 asked her what the most special thing is about being a woman. She said, well, if I hadn't been a woman, I would certainly have been gay. Asked why, she said, because I like sparkles and ruffles and color.
Oh, jeez.
I think she's thinking what Brian Boitano would do.
What would Brian Boitano do?
Did she just stereotype there?
Well, I think who's that guy from the last Olympics? What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
One of the websites called him the Crystal Princess.
What's his name?
Oh, God, Johnny Weir.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was thinking Sparkle Pony, but that's something different. No. All right. Scotch more celebrity stack and much more as we continue 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't hide from the IRS. They're everywhere.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing all your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, offer code Stephanie for my special offer. That's a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com.
Wow.
Offer code Stephanie. Drew in Minneapolis on the topic of the day, drinking early. Hello, Drew.
Hi, you guys talking about getting drunk early in the morning?
Yes.
My mom says as long as you plan on drinking all day long, you can start as early as you want.
Wow. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Do what Mom says. All right.
You get boy and drink your beer.
Keith in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Stephanie. I've got a couple things to say about Sarah Palin. First of all, her voice, I notice, it's always been screechy and like an ice pick in your ear, but I've noticed it's especially been strident and screechy lately. And I just think it's the hatred. I just feel the hatred coming out in her voice more and more.
Yeah, she's a mean girl. She's the entire cast of Mean Girls.
I'm wondering if it's not something they're doing on purpose just to gin up more of this anger in the country so they can, you know, pull a big.
Yeah, but Keith, I got to ask, even the teabaggers, do they really like that voice? I mean, really? Do they really?
I think it's their drug. I think hate is their drug, and I think they're getting off their feet.
Yes, but you can still deliver hate in a more mellifluous voice, can't you?
So the people in Boston and all across the U.S. were saying.
Oh,
God.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, at least Glenn Beck makes hate sound more, you know, sort of, it's like a Sominex commercial almost.
Compared to that.
Is Obama more of a Nazi or a communist Muslim atheist?
See? It's like a podcast that could put me to sleep.
Or could he be all of these things at the same time?
Oh, Glenn Beck's new thing is abolishing the Department of Education.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Oh, good idea.
Want to save money.
More Fox viewers.
Uh-huh.
Steve in Seattle. Dar. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Speaking of Glenn Beck, I do in the mornings, you know, as a form of interval training, I listen to Glenn Beck for a bit, get my heart rate up, and then I switch back to your show and, you know,
yes.
Put me at peace again. So, and in fact, I was listening to him and at one point and he was, you know, they keep using this phrase, redistribution of wealth, which, you know, as far as the progressives are concerned, it's, the idea is not to make it hard to achieve wealth. It's about, helping everybody get the chance to achieve it, and then once you've achieved it, pay back into the system to support all the things that got you the wealth, like our roadways, our police force.
You're a fan of Karl Marx, aren't you, Steve?
Well, I know. It is pretty radical.
I'm a fan of Groucho Marx.
Exactly. We're fans of Groucho Marx on our show. All right, hey, looky here. It's an unsolicited testimonial to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh.
Listening on XM from our sailboat in the Sea of Cortez.
Sweet!
Wow. Why, my son and I, this is from John. My son and I sailed south from L.A. on our, I would like some unsolicited testimonial music, please, thank you. We sailed south on L.A. On our Catalina 42-foot sailboat on February 4th. I've been cruising the Pacific coast of Baja in the Sea of Cortez, and we listen to you guys every morning.
Oh, cool.
I have a coffee and pan and clean up the galley. Why he's cleaning the galley while listening? Yeah, I don't.
Hello, Sea of Cortez.
Steph and I were separated at birth, right down to the inappropriate fourth grade level bathroom sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Irrational love of dogs and shouting out at random moments. Guy Lafleur. Ask my wife.
What?
I've done this since she met me in 1981.
Oh my God.
John and Evan, who are in the Sea of Cortez, listening on XM.
Of course, the bathroom on the boat is called the Head.
Okay. Oh dear God, could you take out your organ for me? I have to finish up a celebrity stack. Delisted writing, gather at the steps of the Church of Brangelina because Star Magazine says the newest fetus Christ is currently simmering in St. Angie's womb of wonder.
Oh, no.
D-listed also reporting the desperate housewives are standing by their main gay. Felicity.
Yeah, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
Yes, no, Mark Cherry on, yeah. And Nicolette Sheridan are having a little tiff. Spat of some sort. Felicity Huffman, Marcia Cross, Terry Hatcher, and Eva Longoria issued a joint statement today regarding the claims of their Desperate Housewives boss, Mark Cherry, verbally and physically assaulted Nicolette Sheridan. Of course, they have left Nicolette in the shade and joined Mark on the grassy knoll called a paycheck.
Yep.
it's a little... Oh, you know the Steven Seagal story we did the other day?
Yeah, where maybe he kept a sex slave or something?
Something,
allegedly?
I don't know. Superficial saying Steven Seagal's accuser probably made that up.
Oh,
Steven Seagal was recently sued by a former employee for sexual harassment and trafficking women, except it turns out this chick's a lesbian, was on the Tyra Banks show a year ago talking about how awesome she is at tricking dudes. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure this is a slam dunk for Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
The only thing...
Countersuit.
The only thing I don't get is how he traveled back in time and got this chick to incriminate herself, because I 100% believe he hires women just to karate rape them in an old steel mill.
Oh, karate rape? Oh.
That's superficial. I don't have any evidence of that.
Aikido rape, which is oxymoronic.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. By the way, speaking of entertainment, for those of all y'all with kids out there, you can hire an evil clown to stalk your child now.
Yes.
What?
And it's not called Catholic school anymore. Hey, that's not, it's an actual.
Is there a market for that?
Yeah, there's a company that has an evil clown who stalks and threatens your kids. It's a he's being hired by parents as a birthday treat. And did you see the picture? He looks just like Glenn Beck. I'm just saying.
Actually, he looks like Tim Curry in that miniseries It, you know, about the evil clown.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It looks exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
Dominic DeVille, that's the name of
the...
He stalks young victims for a week, sending chilling texts, making prank phone calls, and setting traps in letterboxes. He posts notes warning children they're being watched, telling them they'll be attacked. He is a birthday treat hired by mom and dad, and the attack involves being splatted in the face with a cake.
He's going to be severely injured someday. Somebody's going to...
Yeah, some kid is going to punch him right in the nards.
Yeah.
He set up his evil clown service in Switzerland after being inspired by some of his favorite horror films, including Stephen King's It, you said, and the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. They pay for the years of therapy for the children after this.
Somehow I don't think of evil clowns when I think of Switzerland.
Hey, here's a job for Squeezy. Jim, a woman in London, Amanda Flowers, needs 10 sex sessions a day, courtesy a fall from her Wii Fit board, which turned her into a sex addict.
Wow. So that's her excuse. Cool.
Even the slightest of vibrations from mobile phones to food processors turns her on. It began as a twinge down below, she said, before surging through my body. Sometimes it builds into a trembling orgasm.
Wow.
With no cure, I just have to try to control my passion by breathing deeply. Hopefully one day I'll find a super stud who can satisfy me. Squeezy.
Wow.
Hey now. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
That's George Takei.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be interested.
No, not at all.
All right. The president talking about financial reform yesterday.
We cannot have a circumstance in which a meltdown in the financial sector once again puts the entire economy in peril.
Yeah. Did you see a seething Harry Reid in the sunlight yesterday? Where's my good, the bad, and the ugly meal? Here it is. He was squinting, which he kind of always is.
Well,
he was seething. He called Mitch McConnell's claim that the Democrats had abandoned bipartisan financial reform talks a figment of his imagination.
Strong words.
Oh, sorry.
Them smart words. Well, that implies that he has some imagination.
Right.
But so...
I think as we mentioned, Frank Ludd's talking points went out. It's a 17-page memo for once on the language of financial reform. It says, in part, the single best way to kill any legislation is to link it to the big bank bailout. On cue, there's Mitch McChinless saying this bill ends in bailouts, which is exactly as Austin Goolsbee just told us earlier, the exact opposite of what the bill does. Team Obama launched a coordinated counteroffensive to rebut McConnell's claim the bank finance risk fund included in the bill would pave the way for bottomless bank bailouts. Geithner dismissed the idea that such a fund would lead to a bailout, saying any risk the government takes are going to be borne by large financial institutions. That's why it's in the bill.
Yes, but people remember the word bailout.
Thanks, Frank Luntz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bailout. Brains.
Frank Luntz ate their brains. Yeah. Okay.
I am absolutely confident that the bill that emerges is going to be a bill that prevents bailouts. That's the goal. All right?
Maybe bailouts.
Maybe that's how Frank Luntz got so large. He ate too many brains.
Can we hire evil clowns to stalk members of Congress?
Yes. Right.
All right. Let's see. Senator Mitch McChinless.
The bill that they've reported out of committee is an endless taxpayer bailout of Wall Street banks.
No,
so that is not a political winner, and it's also the wrong thing to do for the country.
It's the wrong thing to do for the country. Sorry, what?
It's the wrong thing to do for the country. So it's a bailout my upper lip.
He's the evil lipless clown of the Republican Party, Mitch McChinless again.
My message to the president, quite simply, is let's get back to the table and see if we can't get this job done.
Oh, shut up.
Here we go. Same thing as health care. Oh, we need to go back to the table.
Go to the table.
Yeah.
Blank sheet.
You left the table too soon.
Mm-hmm. I had to stop myself from calling Mitch McChinless a dirty word there. Oops. Came kind of close.
You had yourself.
I did.
Okay. Senator Chris Dodd.
The American people deserve better from us in this chamber. And that's why I've been so dismayed over these last 24 hours to hear members of this body repeat the utter falsehoods concocted by special interests whose jobs and pensions are plenty secure, thank you very much, that this bill would lead to more bailouts.
Yes, thank you. Go, Chris. It's your birthday. All right, kids, you know, I've been talking to you about carbonite, but it is the time for action, much like financial reform. Don't just think about doing carbonite. Do it! Because when it's too late, then it's too late. That's the whole point of having carbonite. My computer has files that are unbelievably important to me, financial documents, pictures of loved ones that I cannot get replaced if I lost them off my computer. Carbonite
your
online backup.
Your script for the show this weekend?
Hello, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show here in New York City.
Absolutely.
Carbonite Online Backup keeps all of that safe. What about you? Think about that panic you feel when you've lost something you really, really need off of your computer. Now think of the relief you'll feel because you've got Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, it automatically backs up your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. You don't even have to think about it. It's safe. It's secure. It's just $55 for the entire year. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Come on, do it now. Carbonite.com. You'll be glad you did. Use the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free. That's if you subscribe, that's carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 51 minutes after the hour, Jessica in Caribou, Maine. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hello. Thanks
Jess.
For taking the call.
Thank
I
you.
Think what we need to do for financial reform is invoke the spirit of St. Molly Ivins, formerly of Texas and this earth, who before she died, about a year before she died, she wrote an article about how we were going to be headed for another major meltdown on Wall Street because the last time we had unfettered capitalism, it was the Great Depression. And she wanted to bounce some heads around because she said, you're going to get this to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All hail St. Molly Ivins. Anything she said, we should just do.
Absolutely.
All right. From the Don't You Hate When This Happens stack, police in South Carolina say an argument between two motel guests ended when one of the men was hit in the head with a snake. That is an argument ender. You gotta admit,
okay.
That's an argument ender.
Well, it depends on the snake, I suppose.
I mean, if it's a little garter snake, you know, that can't do damage, mm-hmm. but...
They were arguing over loud music. The dispute appeared to be over, but the man told police Smith walked up to him several hours later with a 4-foot python and hit him in the face with the snake's head. And that was the end of that.
How did the python feel about it?
Yeah.
I guess. Did it
anger the python? It would anger me. And an angry python is not a happy python.
No. A major British clothing retailer withdrew a children's bathing suit from sale Wednesday after a front-page tabloid story criticized the store for selling padded bras on bikinis aimed at seven-year-olds.
Oh,
that's not right.
Don't you hate that when your seven-year-old's rack doesn't look big enough?
Wow. God. That's gross.
That is gross. All right. I just wanted to do one gross story that doesn't have to do with the Catholic Church. So
okay,
there you go.
Well, I keep feeding them hormone-laced chicken, and you won't have to worry about that very long.
All right. They'll grow boobs in the front and the back and for shoulder pads.
Yeah. Oh.
That's how Spark says, you know, a 10-year-old with a D cup is wrong. And that's just the boys.
But you know. All right. By the way, we were talking about Grampy McSame. Has he actually gotten crankier? He really did the get off my Senate lawn when someone asked him about the contradiction that he's not a maverick anymore.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Get off my lawn.
Do you see, when you see footage of him now, are you not just so unbelievably grateful that he is not president of the United States? Did you see him talking about Iran?
Just pull the trigger. Bomb him now. The only thing I'll listen to is violence. Kill, kill, die, die.
Oh, he's gotten so angry.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, after his bomb Iran joke, he was at the Senate Armed Service Committee here. You could tell he went off script a little bit. He said, while the U.S. keeps pointing a loaded gun at Iran, it has yet to pull the trigger. But die, kiddo.
Pull it. Pull the trigger. Don't think about it.
Yeah, that was a little...
Dodged a bullet there.
You ever heard about fluoridation, Mandrake? Yes, Jack, I can't believe I have.
Oh, boy, Chris, did I say there was going to be another light loafer drop in this story?
Oh, boy.
A one-time aide to former Representative Eric Massa has filed a complaint with the Congressional Office of Compliance, alleging that he and other staffers were subjected to various forms of sexual harassment by their boss, who resigned in March. An attorney for the former aide said he subjected my client and other young gay men to unwelcome touching, sexual propositions, groping, sexualized comments, and similar forms of harassment, both inside the congressional office and outside of it.
But I'm sure he loves his wife.
I'm sure he does.
I love my wife.
Oh, I bet you he loves...
You ever had a bit of toilet paper stuck to your heel?
I love my wife.
You know, and by the way, his last appearances were getting so nutty, he might actually just go on Larry King and say he loves Larry Craig's wife. I don't know what he's going to say next. He's a little... Oh, boy.
And apparently there's a story going around that Massa hit on a male bartender at the funeral wake of a Marine from his district that had died.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, that's alleged, but...
A bartender from Buffalo, I think, is what the story was. And I can attest to the charms of bartenders from Buffalo, having grown up there.
I'm sure you visited many a bartender in Buffalo.
And frequented many a bar.
Jenny Cream Ale, that's all we got.
Okay. That and Lake Niagara Wine, and I'm yours.
Did the Poncello Brothers Pizza Place have a bar?
Shush about them.
What?
No. There was no alcohol served there.
No?
Otherwise, you might have got lucky.
Yay! No, I think she already did get lucky.
Huh.
Your free pizza has its full.
Shush. John Boehner has officially begun his campaign for Speaker of the House.
John Boehner.
What?
His political team getting ahead of themselves a little bit.
Don't they need to be in the majority before they can even think about installing someone as Speaker of the House?
They filed paperwork for the Boehner for Speaker joint fundraising committee with the National Republican Congressional Committee. Now all Republicans have to do is win back the House, and they can take that gavel from Nancy Pelosi's...
Votes don't count anymore.
Who are they campaigning? I mean, members of the House vote for Speaker of that. So they don't need to campaign the public for it.
Giddy, what with the groundswell and everything for Republicans. And
All right.
Democratic senators urging the president to abandon any hope of winning Republican support for his upcoming Supreme Court pick.
Yes.
And to nominate instead a dominant liberal voice. Thank you. Top Democrats say the partisan fights over health care reform, the stimulus, and other issues show the Republicans won't play ball. Good! We're paying attention! I think we need to push someone who would be on the liberal side and the progressive side, just as Roberts and Alito are on that side, said Tom Harkin. Mm-hmm. Why do conservatives always get the conservatives when we don't get to get liberals? What the hell's that all about?
Yeah.
Good for you, Tom Harkin.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. John Rockefeller said, I don't think you can count on any Republican support, no matter who he nominates. Even if he nominates a conservative, it wouldn't be conservative enough.
Right.
Yeah. And then here's what I get annoyed with some of these conservative Democrats. So what's his name? Nelson? Mm-hmm. Ben? Yeah. Or no, the... What's his name? Which is the
Bill?
One from...
Ben, I believe, Ben. Is from Nebraska.
Yeah. He said, I want to see someone who doesn't bring an ideology to the bench.
Oh, come on.
What? That's exactly what I want to see. Yes.
Just an empty vessel. You're not a human being if you don't have a point of view.
Just an empty vessel that'll parrot whatever Alito says.
God.
Exactly.
One of the other tools.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget, tomorrow, Fridays with Buglesang, plus Ron Paul and economist Christian Weller, a big, big show.
Wow.
I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.